As Dennis said, Steve is giving a talk at this moment in a different symposium, so he asked me to present his talk. I couldn't say no, he's my boss. So I will do my best, even though I have been involved in this project since just a few months ago. The title of the presentation is Saline Drainage Water and Its Effects on Forages and Livestock. And what you see there is in that picture is the San Joaquin Valley. And as you know, the San Joaquin Valley has a problem, and the problem is that these lots are thousands and thousands of hectares with salinity problems and shallow and saline water tables. The problem is that the disposal of the water is complicated because of the presence of some trace elements like selenium and molybdenum. There's different ways to deal with that problem, but one of them is basically through drainage water reuse. The drainage water reuse has several advantages, like reducing the volume of drained water for disposal and reducing the cost of disposal, and eventually providing a positive income for the ranchers and farmers. The problem is that alternative has some disadvantages, like the accumulation of salt, the accumulation of trace elements, and possible adverse effects on soil chemical and physical properties, like infiltration. As you already know, the drainage water reuse is basically the application of drainage water from one field to the next field, or to another field with more salt-tolerant crops. A team of researchers, basically from UC Davis, UC Riverside, and United States Salinity Lab at Riverside, proposed a simplified sequential reuse system using forages and livestock to manage the drainage water. The reason for that were basically because it's an easy to manage, has a low cost. The use of livestock adds some value to the exploitation, and the volume of water can be reduced, even though the salts have to be managed anyway. The drainage water reuse for forages is based on two main hypotheses. The first one is that the saline water can be used to irrigate salt-affected soils while maintaining the chemical and physical condition of the soil. And the second one is that many forage quality characteristics reflect the management system and the crop species more than the site where the forage is growing. So to test both hypotheses, the team select a research site at Westlake Farms close to Lemoore in Kings County. But particularly, this site doesn't have high concentrations of selenium, but has high concentrations of molybdenum. And here is the site, the research site, and you see that it's located at the greater, at the high contents of molybdenum in the valley. This is a picture of the field. It's a 30-hectare field that was divided in eight different paddocks. The field was graded to a uniform slope, and tile lines were installed. And we have four points that you can see here where we have sensors, so we can measure the volume and the quality of the drainage water. There is another point here that you cannot see, but at that point we can measure the volume and the quality of the water that is coming to the field. So basically we know the volume and the quality of the water that goes into the field and goes out of the field. The whole field was mapped with a Wenner and EM38 equipment to measure the electrical conductivity of the bulk soil. And the ESAP software, developed by Scott Lesch at Riverside, was used to basically define the point where the soil and forage samples will be taken. Here we have a picture of the field site, and you can see the different paddocks. And this is a picture of the, you know, with a map of the different salinities, and the dark sides are those with higher range of salinity. The idea was to study the effect of, you know, different salinity levels and trace minerals on grazing cattle. So they set it up pasture in 1999, and then they study three seasons, three consecutive seasons of grazing. The animal component of this project was responsibility of John Mass, his faculty at UC Davis, the vet school. And as you see, during 2001, 2, and 3, they took a lot of different measurements to study the performance and health of the beef cattle. Here we have the grazing protocols from 2001 and 2002. And basically, what we have here is that during the first year, we have 18 steers in the experimental site, and 8 steers on the control pasture. There was a pasture, the same pasture with a different site, where the soils were good and that was irrigated with water from the San Joaquin River. So it was a non-saline irrigation, basically. At the end of this year, they found that the animals were deficient in selenium and copper, so they decided to supplement those animals. So in the year 2002, they had 41 steers in the grazing trail, what means a moderate grazing density on the controlled pasture, and a high grazing density on the treated pasture. In this case, the animals were supplemented, both those in the treatment pasture and those in the control pasture. And this is what happened. After 143 days in 2001, the control group gained 1.24 pounds per head per day, while the treatment group gained just 1.02 pounds per head per day. As I told you, the cattle was deficient in copper and selenium in the first year. And the low stocking rate at that time in both pastures allowed the free choice intake of the animal. That is why they got these weight gains. On 2002, after 101 days of grazing, in the controlled pasture with a moderate stocking rate, the cattle only gained 0.5 pounds per day, per head per day, while in the treatment pasture, the animals didn't gain weight at all. So the results of this first part of the study basically show that in terms of the copper status, was a drop to deficiency levels in liver as well as in serum copper in the control site and in the treatment site. In 2002, the result was that the selenium and copper supplementation prevented deficiencies, but they found slight accumulation of iron in the liver. The bottom line for this year is basically that at moderate stocking rates, we can obtain moderate weight gains. But at high stocking rates, we can only get maintenance. Here we have the results for the year 2003. Again, we have two pastures, the control pasture with animals supplemented and not supplemented. And in both cases, we have daily positive daily gains in the control pasture was just 1.1, 1.2 pounds per head per day, versus the treatment pasture where they obtained 1.5, 1.6 pounds per head per day. The whole point here is that the animals were capable to gain weight in those pastures, and those results confirm the result of Mass et al., the studies that Mass did a couple of years before, in which they couldn't find histopathologic problems or evidence of selenotoxicity in those animals. So basically, grazing of high selenium forage can be safely done with appropriate monitoring. This is the first part of the study. Here we have a picture of the Waste Lake farm in a pre-grazing condition. You can see the Bermuda grass pasture. And here you will see another picture of the Bermuda grass after the grazing. In this case, the grazing was managed to basically use 50% of the dry matter of the forage, basically to allow, I mean, to leave some residue to allow the regrowth. The second part of the study is about the forage. The pasture was seeded on 1999, as I told you, and since then, soil samples, irrigation water samples, drainage water samples, and forage samples have been collected periodically. This is the scheme of the research site, and you can see in light yellow the places where the forage samples has been taken, and in the dark yellow the places where the soil and forage samples have been taken since then. This is a picture of the pasture. The pasture looks like this part. What this picture intends to show is just there's some spots of basically gypsum, very dry with salts on the surface, and really no growth, I mean basically no pasture, but some cochia and some kinobaldaceas. The salinity in this site is really high. Basically, the forage sampling was through clipping and using samples that I can remember the name now. And the results are shown here. So what we have here is basically the accumulation of dry matter through the year. And the area under the curve is the total biomass production, but it's pretty high. It's probably around 10 tons of dry matter per hectare. Here we can see the decrease in the forage yield as the salinity in the soil increases. This is like it's very alike with the Mass and Hoffman equation. And here, the same thing with boron and molybdenum, as there's a nice correlation with salinity and the concentration of boron and molybdenum in the soil. Really fast, they took those samples and analyzed those forage samples and realized that basically the forage is very nutritious for the animals. Here we have the nitrogen content. The next slide you will see basically the protein content, which is pretty high. We have a mean of 10.7% and a maximum value of 22. So that means that the forage managed properly can be very nutritious for the animals. The digestibility of that forage, it's really good too. These are the values given by the Natural Research Council, and you see they're quite alike, even though we're using the forage in a very complicated, in very complicated soils. Yeah, have more information. Just something about, something to say about the copper molybdenum ratio. Usually that ratio should be lower than 4, otherwise it can have some metabolic implication for the animals. So for manure grass, looks at this fine. Here we have another picture, and with the kochia intrusion into the pastures, you see how kochia is growing in the most saline sites of the pasture here, basically. And the cattle here is grazing kochia. We analyzed those that forage, those samples, and we discovered that again the protein value of the kochia is pretty high, and this is a forage that is very digestible too. There are some values that are really high. The sodium is extremely high, but looks like it's not any detrimental problem for the forage or for the cows. Here. Again, we have a high content of copper and low content of molybdenum, so that is really good for us in terms of keeping a low, you know, ratio. And finally, we have here a third species that appears in early spring. This is the yellow sweet clover. Again, we took some measurements and did the analysis, and we discovered, of course, that as a legume, has a really high protein content, and again, the digestibility are pretty high. So as a result of the studies, we can conclude basically that on a high sour soil, using moderate saline water for irrigation, no infiltration and drainage problems have been observed during the 7 years while the grass has been growing. And by the opposite, leaching and reclamation are occurring. The salinity of shallow drainage water in the western San Joaquin Valley commonly ranges between 4 and 12 decisiemens per meter. But this type of salts are sulfate more than chloride, so that is favorable in terms of drainage water reuse. But we have some problems here with the trace elements. They vary in type and amount by location, what complicates the disposal of the water. So now what we're doing is basically formulating models to try to describe the dynamic of those trace minerals in the, you know, soil, plant, animal.